You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 51. And today I'm talking with my friend Tanya Target about how to leverage the power of the mass media to get you more visibility. So let's get started.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact, boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
Hello there, inspired entrepreneurs and business leaders. It's Melanie Benson here. Today we're talking about business success, and I've got a tool that you're going to want to add to your toolbox. It's totally free, and it's my top 10 rapid cash strategies. Now, each and every one of these strategies is time tested and proven either in my business or in the business of one of my clients. And it's full of really awesome ideas to help you get a quick cash infusion into your business now. The best part, it's totally free. Download it now at rapidcashstrategies.com. Now, let's get into today's episode. Welcome, everyone. I'm so excited to share with you my new friend, Tanya Target. I have gotten to know Tanya over the little while, and I have to tell you, she is profoundly inspiring. She is so clear about this topic today. You're going to love it. We're going to talk about how to create 100K in free PR, even if you aren't a big name or you struggle with really knowing what your story is. Now, let me give you just a little bit about Tanya. Tanya Target is a journalist, an international speaker, and she is the creator of something she calls the Winning Publicity Formula. She's a multi-published, award-winning daily news journalist and former investigative reporter who has a proven system that she and her media darling students have used to secure more than $7.4 million in free publicity over the last 2 years. Now, Tanya comes to us from the Australia side of the house, so she's really become a very well-known journalist in that area. She, cut this part. Sorry, that was horrible. She's a media expert and an experienced journalist, but more so, Tanya is an entrepreneur who has known adversity, fought it, lost to it, and then had a major comeback. Swapping the newsroom for the retail world, Tanya lost her first six-figure business to an inland tsunami, which killed 38 people in Queensland, Australia in 2011. Having secured national and international media for that first business, an online retail store, which reached the top 100 of its kind, entrepreneurs were quick to ask Tanya for her secrets and begged her to teach them how she did it. And this is what became a better kind of tsunami, which really helped her land that second six-figure business in under 6 months. So today, Tanya is joining me to talk about what some of these secrets are, how you can tap into them, what exactly you can do to not just get seen by the media, but get picked up and spotlighted, and how you can leverage that to build your own influence and authority in your market. So, Tanya, thanks so much for joining me today.
Oh, my absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So a big part of how you and I met was I was speaking at an event for Movement Makers. And you were so sweet. You came and sat next to me at lunch after I talked. And you were asking me some questions that I found so intriguing. You were basically trying to help me figure out what my story is. And little did I know, you were getting ready to help spotlight my story in the media. And the questions you asked really got me thinking. You got me thinking in a whole new way, in a very strategic way, about my story. And so I was really excited that you said yes to coming and sharing some of these secrets. But I think it'd be really cool if we talked first about what exactly is our story. Like, how do we know what our story is?
Yeah, it's a great question, Melanie. And a lot of people don't realize what their story is. And what I heard when you were speaking from stage and you were talking about your journey, I really noticed the resilience that you had in your journey. And I, as a, you know, a journalist with, you know, over 20 years experience, you know, I've come to have what they call as a nose for news, in that when I hear things from people, I know instantly what's going to get traction in the media. So easy for me, but then how do you do that? And the first thing would be for everybody listening on this call, is, what was it that brought you to do what you are doing right now? What was that turning point in your life, or where were you? Now, you may have had, like me, you may have been through a tsunami, you may have been through something environmental, you may have been through a business tsunami, you may have lost everything through, bankruptcy or business, or just needing to pivot and change because the industry, what was popular in the industry 10 years ago, like the Nokia phone, no longer exists, so you might have had to reinvent yourself. Or you may have seen something in the market that annoyed you because someone was giving outdated and wrong advice and you could see that people were getting hurt, so you decided to start doing what you are doing. Whatever that reason was, whether it was that you were trying to make sure the right information got out there, or whether there was a health turning point where you turned your life around, a relationship turning point, whatever it was, that is one of the very first stories that you should look at doing that you could share with a larger audience to start building profile, and also using it to create a familiarity and a relationship with your customers and potential customers. Because when you appear in the media and mainstream media, which then, of course, gets shared across social media. So, for instance, the Today Show in North America has 3.1 million viewers. Now, say they were doing a story, which they do every year, they will do the same story. So, for instance, January's coming around. They're going to talk about New Year's resolutions. Now, that might be reinventing yourself. It might be setting fitness goals, whatever it is. If you are the expert providing that advice and expertise, it gets shared on the Today Show, which is 3.1 million viewers every day. Their social media tribe is even bigger. When that is shared from mainstream media across to social media, just on Facebook alone, it's 3.2 million viewers. So now you've got people hearing about your transformation. So for instance, if you were a fitness coach and you were talking about setting fitness goals for the year, no doubt you ended up in the fitness industry because either yourself or someone close to you needed to have that fitness transformation. And so when you share the background story, the human side of what brought you to do what you are doing, people, they drop their salesman alarm and they suddenly see you as a person. And when they see you as a person, they can hear you. And when they can hear you, that's also when you can make your offer. Mm. Does that make sense, Melanie?
Yeah. So it's like the story becomes the rapport. It becomes the authentic place where someone sees you as that human being instead of having their armor up a little bit and their guard saying, okay, I know something's about ready to get pitched to me. I don't know if I want that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, one of the biggest disservices for entrepreneurs wanting to get into mainstream media is that we have it ingrained in us, this, an elevator pitch, they call it in Australia, in that you can hop in a lift and, from the ground to the top level, you can pitch what you do, what you can offer someone and how you can change their lives. And it's very much like an advertisement. Mm-hmm. Now, and we're trained to do that at networking events. Oh, what is it that you do? And, we've got this tagline that we rush out. How to be really memorable and how to get exactly what you want, which is, to get on TV or to get in a magazine or to get into a newspaper, is to not go with the ad. It's to go with the story behind that. It's to go with the story behind what your business that you have now and what brought you to do this. And the beautiful thing about that is that when journalists, reporters share your story and they talk about the fact that you lost, 120 pounds and turned your life around, they will then say, which brought you to what you're doing now? Tell us about what you're doing now, Tanya. And now I can talk about my business. Whereas if I wanted to come in and I just talked about my business, they would tell me to take out an advert, to go and pay for advertising. So, and that's where a lot of entrepreneurs go wrong. And it's not your fault though, guys, because it is ingrained in us to be basically vomiting all over whoever is listening what it is that we do for a living. Mm-mm-mm. We want to know what brought you to where you are now. And that would be your first story that you could look at.
Yeah, I love that you draw that distinction because I know I've been interviewed for other magazines along the way. And they always wanted to know the background and the deeper story. And I always thought, like, I don't care. You're right. Like that's what got picked up. That's what was so interesting. That's what they wanted to focus on. And so I am wondering, and I know this was a big piece for me that you helped me get clear on, What if you think you have lots of stories? How do you find the one that's really the story you should tease out and really hone the story to bring to the media?
Well, everybody does have multiple stories, and a lot of people struggle because they don't know what their story is. And then once you start to understand what journalists are looking for, then you do start to realize, and you have that delicious problem, Melanie, of having so many stories, where do you go, what do you do first? And there's some very simple rules for that. My first question would be, what time of year is it in terms of seasons in the part of the world that you are in right now? So for instance, here in Australia, it's spring and we're coming into summer. So if there's a part of your story that happened around this time of year, say it's an anniversary or something, if a part of your story or expertise, because we haven't even touched on that yet, that the reporters are interested in, but if you have some expertise that is seasonal, for instance, you are a fitness coach, so coming in at this time of year, you know that the part of your story you should be sharing is about transformations. If you are a families coach and you came to be a relationships coach because of, you know, stresses and strains, what you've been through and seen as a therapist or as a child or as an adult, this is another great time of year to roll that portion of your story out, because all around the world, everyone's going to come together for Christmas, and that's one of the highest stress times for family disputes, suicides, and familial crime, sadly. So my first question would be, where are you in the world and what season are you in? Is it winter, autumn, spring? You know, where are you and what seasonally is happening? So there might be a natural tendency for a certain part of your story to come out. My second question to you would be, apart from the season, what is actually coming up in the calendar of the year? Is it school holidays? Is it tax time? Is this a time when people have high travel? Is it high lunch boxes? Is it new sporting codes? So what's going on? And I talk about awareness calendars as well. So online, you can be Googling, guys, awareness calendars, awareness days, awareness weeks, awareness months, and you will see that there are days throughout the year around the world that will also tell you when to bring out and tease out certain parts of your story. So, for instance, October is Sober October in Australia, which is a whole month about not drinking alcohol. So if you were, say you're living in North America, but you have students who live in Australia and they have done your sobriety programs, you could be tapping into Sober October in Australia by sharing, by using your student stories and your own story. And it organically makes sense because that's a set time in the awareness calendar that story is going to be covered. And these happen throughout the year: Mother's Day, Father's Day, Valentine's Day, International Women's Day. So there becomes a natural calendar of when to tease out other parts of your story. So that's two things to ask yourself. The third question would be, and this is a really biggie, and this can override all of those: where would you like to appear? So my first thing I ask all my students is, where are we going? And I pinch Stephen Covey's start with the end in mind. And it's really important, because if you want to get into media in another country, you immediately need to understand that to tap into media in another country, you need to be relevant to that media. So say you wanted to get into media in the UK, well, could you team up with another expert in the UK? Is there an awareness day coming up in the UK that you could be leveraging? Do you have a student over there? Or you might decide you want to get into Entrepreneur Magazine. Well, if you want to get into Entrepreneur Magazine, then bringing out, you know, a story about, your story about what brought you to where you are now and how you went from zero to six or seven figures is ideal for Entrepreneur Magazine. But you wouldn't be teasing out tips on, you know, weight loss or fitness or surviving Christmas. So where you go also dictates what part of your story that you bring out. Does that make sense, Melanie?
It makes perfect sense. And it's actually making me really curious about your deeper story. You know, we kind of touched on that as I introduced you, but I know that you have several stories that have probably helped shape you as the successful person you are with your PR programs, as well as your, you know, you're like an amazing guide for people to really unleash their stories. So you know, as you kind of look back at your story, like, where do you think the real pivot was for you? And how are you leveraging that right now?
Yeah. You know, I think this will strike a lot of resonance as well. And I thank you for this question. And I actually haven't been asked it before. Yeah. There will be some people listening to this and you're not ready to share your story. And I just want to tell you, I get that and I understand that. And I want to give you full permission to share however much you are comfortable with your story as you are comfortable sharing. So we all have many stories in us. And one of my first stories that I started sharing was how I had a high six-figure turning seven-figure business. I went to work on the 10th of January 2011, going into a million-dollar business that year. And I only had to do $200 more in sales that month to have the best January in 6 years, which was a no-brainer. It was only the 10th of January. I had 74 commission-paid consultants on my books, and an inland tsunami went through, and the business was literally just decimated. My warehouse was in the epicenter of that. So I lost a business, and you know, I fought on. I didn't just give up like that. I fought really hard, and 6 months later, I fought so hard I ended up in hospital with a suspected mini stroke. I was just 36. I had a series of seizures. I couldn't write. I had a thing called dysplasia where I could hear it in my head, but I couldn't speak it and I couldn't get it down on pen and paper. I wasn't able to drive for quite some time. And I still to this day have to manage and keep seizures at bay to be able to keep my driver's license. And then 12 months to the day from the tsunami, I was diagnosed with clinical depression, which was enough for me to say, I'm not going to be depressed anymore. I'm going to pull myself through this. So we have in there a couple of stories, but that's actually not my most powerful one. When I first started sharing that story, I found it, you know, and I shared it in the media as well, and it was very, very powerful, and it struck a chord with a lot of people. But every now and then I would give a little glimpse into what behind the scenes my life was like, and that was that I was living in a domestic violence situation, not physically abusive, but emotionally and psychologically and financially held to ransom, and really wanting to get out, but being unable to get out and isolated. That has been my most powerful story and my hardest story to share, and the story that I've only really started sharing in the last 18 months. And that was because healing needed to happen. And I have a daughter, and I needed to be mindful of how much of that story got out into the media, because I didn't want her to, I didn't want to turn her or influence her or have her dad presented in a bad light. So we have aspects of our story, and there's still more of that story to come out. We have aspects of our story that we aren't necessarily always going to share fully. So I just want to give you permission that by using the media to build a huge profile and authority and resonance and credibility, you don't have to sell your soul. You don't have to give your warts and all story. You share with what is comfortable for you. And as you start to heal, if you want to, you can share more of your story, which is also why celebrities often come out with a tell-all for something they've been keeping secret for 35 or 40 years, because they weren't ready to share it yet. So
yeah, that is so profound. And there's a saying of, you know, the story is in your mess. And I know people can put themselves in these overly vulnerable states where they actually kind of go deeper into a depression or feel like this loss of control of the narrative because they weren't ready to tell the full story. And so thank you for giving us permission to tell the part of the story that we can tell from a place of power and from knowing that there's actually good that can be done from that place.
And let me give you a little phrase, if I may. So say you're having an interview, they're called segues, and say you're having an interview and someone touches on something that's really, really raw, and they get a sense that there's, you know, say you've been brought on a call for, you're in an interview about, say, business or interest rates or, you know, whatever, tapping pressure points. And let's just talk about EFT in terms of emotional freedom technique and tapping. And the coach might say to you, how did you get into this? And you say, oh, well, you know, I had a, you know, you'll talk a little bit about your story. And they sense there's something there. And they'll say, I just want to ask you a couple more questions about it. And what I would say if I wasn't ready is, it's a fantastic question you're asking me, and I would like to honor it. I'm really not ready to talk about that right yet, right now. There's a few sensitivities around that which prevent me from going into it. But as soon as those sensitivities are removed, I can promise you, you will be the first one that I come back to and give that full story to.
Oh, that was good. I wish I had that language when I got put on the spot and was just
on a video. There's a few sensitivities that prevent me from going into that. However, as soon as those sensitivities are removed, you'll be the first person I come back to.
Good stuff.
So if you guys, if you caught out, there you go.
Good that tip. One. I'm using that. I'm using that. For my open interview.
I love it. And in terms of how am I leveraging it, I leverage it all the time. I'm about to be sharing more of my story coming very, very soon. Next year will be a big media year. I'm in the media myself probably about four times a year. Last year was a quiet year. I laugh when I say that. I was on TV, national TV, twice last year, and did a couple of media interviews. You know, as a media coach, it's very important for me to still be in the media and be showing everybody that, you know, that this is how you do it. What I find is once you have a media profile, it just keeps, and you keep throwing out there and you keep being seen, you keep being heard, you could just keep leveraging and leveraging and leveraging. I mean, I myself have generated for me, I don't know, a couple of million dollars in free publicity, and I continue to leverage that. And when I say leverage it, I mean I use it to get on, you know, key podcasts, because when you can put on your website as seen on or in, it gives you the ability to stand out above other people who are going to be interviewed on that podcast. When I first started public speaking, I didn't have to do my dues as being a second, third or fourth speaker. I was immediately the keynote speaker because I had something the other speakers didn't have, in that I had all these media outlets that I had appeared on. And you actually end up with so many media outlets that you've got to pick and choose. And I will often change the ones that I use on my website or change the ones that I'm showing at my talk to make it relevant to the audience. And then, of course, with those logos, not only do you get keynote talks and not only do you, you know, you get more podcast interviews, which are very, very powerful. You know, not only can you leverage those to get access to experts for summits and interviews. I mean, I've used my profile to interview high profile people that I wouldn't ordinarily get access to. And then I've been able to sell those interviews as a product. And that's as a result of my profile. And also what a lot of people don't think about is sponsorship. Now that can be, it can be an exchange. So you could get a room if you're a speaker, you might get room hire for free. You might get your accommodation for free. And it can also be in the form of money. And it can be also in the form of naming rights. So there's all kinds of different forms of sponsorship. The first thing sponsors want is a return on their investment. And they love it when you have media. So when you have the ability to be able to get in the media and you can show them that you've got profile and that you can continue to get profile, they love the fact that their brand is going to be getting the exposure that you can be getting too. So there's lots of ways that you can be monetizing this rising profile, not just in terms of getting on TV in front of 3.1 million viewers and getting the phone ringing, but there's other things you can be doing too, to jump cues to talk, to jump cues to present, to jump cues to get access to experts, unlock doors that would normally be locked, and of course make money behind the scenes with sponsorship deals as well.
Yeah, well said. And what I took out of that was this is like an accelerator of authority and credibility.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
Whatever platform we're dealing with, whether we're talking about podcasts or radio shows or you know, traditional media, TV, print magazines, high-end, you know, some of these higher platform media portals now, like this idea of credibility through being spotlighted in certain media outlets is, it like literally cuts you through all the noise and puts you at the top of the queue.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, that's exactly right, Melanie. And a lot of people think, oh, well, you know, and look, I put my hand up here. I don't watch TV. I don't watch the news. And you might go, Tanya, you're a reporter and you're an expert in the media. How can you not watch the news? Because I get my news. People, you're right, people don't watch the news anymore. People do watch Netflix and iTunes and Stan and all that. But they still consume their news. It's just that the platform now is different. And instead of sitting down for 30 minutes to watch the news, we get it in bite-sized chunks through our social media. But the key is that when we're on social media, anyone can claim they're an expert. You know, I've got a Cocker Spaniel. I could literally set a Facebook page and account up in his name and he could be a world expert in being naughty, which quite frankly is his genius zone. There's no barrier to entry. And so anyone who claims they're an expert on Facebook may well in fact be an expert, but how do you know? Because you've only got to be 12 years old to open a social media account. When you are quoted as an expert in mainstream media, and that's then shared across where people digest their news on the platform they digest it, now you are a recognized expert. It's not just you saying you're an expert. You've got a mainstream media outlet saying, listen to this person. We've decided they're an expert. We endorse their advice. So it's third-party credibility and third-party validation and social proofing on steroids. So now imagine you on TV or in a magazine or a newspaper or, you know, on a top radio station are being shared on social media versus someone else claiming they're an expert on social media. There's a complete imbalance. And here's the other thing too, because some of you will be thinking, I'm not an expert. And I just want you to know it doesn't matter. Reporters do not care how long you have been in business. They don't care if you haven't even opened your business yet. In fact, when I was getting media for my retail business, I wasn't even open for trade. I simply had a website address and a date of when I was going to be launching, and I got media before it even happened. Because the journalists only care that you have great content and great advice to share, and that advice isn't, to be honest, isn't going to blow up in their face because it's their name on the news or their name on the newspaper article. So long as you are credible and you are factual and you are interesting, you can be harnessing the power of the media even if you haven't started your business yet, because they care just for the content and the story, not for your longevity in your industry.
That's a good point. You know, I'm going to imagine at this point in the conversation, people are listening in and they're thinking to themselves, these are so good. Like, there's so many great ideas here. But now, how do I get seen by the media? And I know that's a big topic. But if you had one piece of advice you could drop on our listener right now, like, what's one way to get that story in front of the right media for them?
The biggest way to get them to take you seriously is to write a media release and to send the media release to them. It makes you stand out, particularly in North America. In Australia and in the UK, a lot of people write media releases. In North America, only mainly the big corporations do it because they're the only ones that can afford publicity, a PR person. So when you put together a media release that follows the formula that they're used to seeing, you stand out from everybody else. They receive at least one media release per minute per reporter in their building. So think about how many people you are competing with and the noise with which they're being bombarded with. Most of those media releases that get sent to them are all about the sell. So when you send your media release through, you want to be leading with the story. So ask yourself, because the reporter is the gatekeeper to the audience. So if they work for a health magazine, of course, it needs to be of interest. It needs to fall into the health paradigm to be of interest to the readers. So quite often what happens is that business owners take a story idea to a news outlet, but they go to the wrong section of the news outlet or the wrong reporter, and they think that they need to know someone to get in the media, and that they don't have a story. That's not true. They simply went to the wrong person in the wrong section or the wrong outlet. So please think about, why do I want to go to this outlet, this news outlet? Does my story match with what they already print or show on this outlet? In other words, is this what their readers and their customers want? And if it is, drop any smell of a sales pitch and go in with your story.
Beautiful. I love it. That's a great tip, because so many of us overlook that very powerful strategy and think, okay, it's too obvious or people are bombarded. So thanks for reinforcing how valuable it is.
Well, you're very well. And if I may just quickly, Melanie, I really want to encourage people that reporters really do want to hear from you guys. They really, really do. Your customers have pains that need solving, and you solve that pain point. I want everyone to think about the pain point that reporters live in. They got to find stories, 3 or 4 stories every single day of the week of the year. They live in what's called massive story and content pain. So if you have a story and you can give it to them the way they need it, that is without the sales pitch, do you think they'd want to hear from you? Put yourself in the reporter's shoes. If someone came to you with a great story, you wouldn't care how long they'd been in operation. You would just want to fill your pain point for that day. And that's what it comes down to. So please be rest assured, they really do want to hear from you.
Yeah, great framework. You know, it's all about reframe, right? It's like you're not bothering yeah. them. You're actually solving their problem.
You are solving their problem, yeah.
Well, you know, I know one of your great gifts on this planet, you have many, but one of the great ones is you are so gifted at helping people pull that story out and really craft that story so that it can be media worthy. And I know you graciously suggested earlier to me when we were talking about the show today that you had a gift that would help people find that story. You want to tell us a little bit about it?
I do. I have a really cool ebook, and guys, I'm just making it available for you. I actually pulled it and I said, Melanie and I were chatting and I said, you know, I do have something and it's really high value and I'd love to share it with your tribe. And it's all about finding your story and matching that story with where you want to go. So if you've been listening to this and you're like, yeah, I get it, but I need more, then I have this free ebook for you. Melanie's going to post it in the show notes. And and it's going to really walk you through what reporters are looking for, which part of your story to tease out. I actually use my favorite beverage to wine, because wine is obviously number one, coffee. So I explain it to you using coffee, and then we remake the coffee as a milkshake. And the reason we do that is because we're going to take that coffee for adults, we're going to take your story as an adult, and we're going to say, how can we make that one story now relevant to a completely different audience that drinks milkshakes, and that would be teenagers and children. So how can we take your turning point or your advice, say, for instance, we're talking about EFT tapping. So let's say you're giving business owners advice on how to overcome stress in the workplace and some secret tapping techniques under the desk. That's a coffee, for instance. How can we make that now a milkshake that teenagers might like? How about some secret tapping under the exam desk to help them get their full results? Or how about some tapping for mum on the first day of dropping a child at a childcare centre when the child's off to kindy? So the ebook talks about how to find your story, and I use examples of coffees, but then how to take that one story, that one piece of advice, now let's reuse it so that you can be accessing different media outlets for different demographics and age groups all around the world on demand.
I can't wait to read it now. You've been talking about my favorite things. Mine is milkshakes. I don't do the milkshakes, but.
Yeah, but you know, I'm kind of thinking it's flawed because I should have been using wine throughout the book. I'm going to have to do a rewrite at some point.
I love it. So as we wrap up, I would love to just hear like one piece of wisdom. I like to think of them as like little wisdom nuggets that gets you through the tough times, keeps you inspired, and keeps you in that determination and drive.
It's really, really, really simple. When I'm really stressed and overwhelmed, and yes, that happens to me too, I just tell myself, Tanya, follow the bouncing ball. I know that's not profound. I know it's not profound, but I just see in my head the bouncing ball. And I follow the bouncing ball. Because sometimes you've just got to keep putting one foot in front of the other, go through that to-do list and tasks before big magic hits again and you can run.
I think that's quite profound. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Tanya, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm always left in chills after we have one of these amazing talks, and I'm super grateful for you in my life. And I know our listeners will be as well after today. And I highly encourage you guys to grab Tanya's great resource. It will be in the show notes. And by the time this goes live, I'll slip in that URL for you as well. So, all right, everybody, we'll see you again next week for another very powerful, inspiring Amplify Your Success show. See you next week. Also, if you've loved this episode and you think others might too, give it a little social media love on the show page. There are buttons that you can share it. I'm on Twitter, Mel Coach. I'm on Facebook, Melanie Benson Strick. I'm on Instagram @CoachMelanieBenson. So thanks so much for being here. We'll be back again next week with another exciting, inspiring episode of Amplify Your Success. I'm Melanie Benson. Bye for now.